Full of Hope, Episode 11, Open Doors and Gospel Clarity from Colossians 4. Well, hello, Hope Fellowship. Welcome to our podcast, Full of Hope, encouraging one another with the Word of God, where we seek to regularly equip the people of Hope Fellowship with truth from Scripture in order to help us cling to our Savior during troubled times. My name is Jeff Brewer, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Fellowship. Today, we're going to look at the end of Colossians and how Paul concludes his letter with a short section about prayer. I know personally, I can constantly feel like Jesus' disciples when they asked him to teach us to pray. And I think the end of Colossians helps to instruct us about how and what we might pray for. So if you feel today that you're not sure what to pray for, Paul has an answer for you. In verse 2, he calls believers to continue steadfastly in prayer, or like another translation puts it, to devote themselves to prayer. I think it can be challenging when we read to devote ourselves to prayer for a couple of reasons. First, we might be under the mistaken idea that only people like monks and nuns are able to be those who devote themselves fully to prayer, maybe off in some distant monastery, or that it's for people with a lot of time on their hands. We might misunderstand this verse because we don't feel all that good at praying. So we wonder, how in the world are we going to devote more time to something we feel so bad at? Doug Moo, in his commentary on Colossians, makes the helpful point, what this means is that prayer is to be a standard feature of the Christian life. Here's what he writes. He says, "The point, then, is not that believers should pray with intensity when they pray, but that they should pray habitually and with perseverance." It should be a standard feature of the Christian life. In Luke 18:1, we should always pray and not give up. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, continue steadfastly in prayer. I wonder if you feel like me during this time of quarantine and you find yourselves praying more because prayer seems to be more purposeful and needed. You know, I thought back to what John Piper once wrote about prayer. He said, "We have so domesticated prayer that it's no longer, in many of our lives and churches, what it was created to be, a wartime walkie-talkie for the accomplishment of mission commands." I'll put the link to that article from Desiring God in the notes on this podcast. But sometimes, it's easy to keep prayer on the level of a few basic requests about health and safety. And of course, there's nothing wrong with praying for this, but I wonder if that's what kind of makes its prayer seem all that unnecessary. It lacks the desperation to cry out to God because we know how dependent we are on Him to work. It's less the wartime walkie-talkie and more of a domesticated prayer that maybe we will do it, maybe we won't. Does it really matter in the end? You know, if nothing else during this coronavirus crisis, I think that the church is praying more. There are online prayer meetings being organized by the Gospel Coalition in Acts 29, among others. And this crisis is, I pray, giving us at Hope Fellowship a renewed sense of the church's place in the world and the mission that God has for us. It's reminding us that life can take sudden and tragic turns, that everything we take for granted as normal can be upended in a moment. And I think this drives us to our knees more. It helps us devote ourselves to prayer more habitually and with more perseverance. But in Colossians 4, Paul doesn't just speak generally about prayer, to devote ourselves to this general thing called prayer. He's asking for prayer for himself. And whenever I hear Paul asking for prayer in passages like this and in Ephesians 6 for himself, it encourages me because it's a reminder that if someone we view as spiritual and a leader like Paul needed to ask for prayer, how much more do we need to do the same? And not only that, but how specific Paul gets in what he's asking for. Again, not just general, but specific. Listen to what he asks them to pray for. pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Do you notice that? He's asking them to pray that God opens a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. It's encouraging to me that we're to pray for God to open doors, rather than just simply to pray for boldness to walk through the open doors or to create those doors ourselves. God is so sovereign that we can pray, God, I know that it is your will for me to speak boldly and to declare the mystery of Christ. So would you open a door for me today? And would you help me to realize that that door is open? Would you help me to be bold in those open door moments? If we're praying for God to open doors for the gospel, we'll be more likely to walk through that door when we see it. But if you notice, Paul doesn't just ask that God would open a door. He asks more than that. He asks that he would declare the gospel clearly, which is how he ought to speak. So we pray for open doors, and we pray that we would take the opportunity to make the gospel clear when we walk through the door. You know, I so often miss the open doors, and even if I walk through them, it's easy for me to speak only generally about God to my neighbors or friends. Paul's asking for gospel clarity as well. He wants to make the gospel clear that Christ died for our sins. But before we end, it's not just gospel clarity and open doors that Paul's asking God for. He ends with what seems like an unrelated command. In verses 4 and 5, he writes, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Instead of this just being some closing remarks, I actually think that this directly relates to his call to prayer. Paul's call to be walking in wisdom towards outsiders and making the best use of the time, we're going to be placing ourselves in situations where we can walk through open doors that we've been praying for. If we're walking in wisdom towards outsiders, we're going to be more aware of how our outward conduct matters and how it affects others. If our speech is gracious, we'll know how to answer each person and make the gospel clear in any given situation. You know, Hope Fellowship, we're in a unique time, but it should be our prayer that this unique time causes us to be more deliberate in prayer, praying for open doors, doors that might never have opened if this crisis had not happened. We pray that we would speak plainly and clearly about the truth of the gospel and who Jesus is, and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, not wasting our time. We can be praying in faith that God will help us know how to answer each person as the door opens. And so, Hope Fellowship, remember, we have hope in Christ. Let's encourage ourselves with this hope, and let's make this hope known in a struggling world. We'll see you next time.